Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. Which Beatles song was played at the Charles Manson murder trial on this very day back in 1971? Was it A, Here Comes the Sun? Was it B, Lady Madonna? Was it C, Helter Skelter? Or was it D, Revolution? So which Beatles song was used as a murder trial exhibit? And question number two. Lyndon Johnson's presidential inauguration was held 60 years ago today. Which of the following entertainers was not a featured singer? Was it A, Barbara Streisand, B, Bobby Darin, or C, Willie Nelson? Or D, all of the above were featured singers at LBJ's inauguration? Or was it E, none of the above were featured singers at LBJ's inauguration? Featured singers at LBJ's inauguration? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of January 17th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1934, that Lorenz Hammond filed for a patent for the pipeless organ with the tone wheel generator. The patent was granted on April 24. Hammond organ filing, that was today in 1934. And it was 81 years ago today, 1944, that the first jazz concert was held at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. The performers were Louis Armstrong, Benny Goodman, Lionel Hampton, Artie Shaw, Roy Eldridge, and Jack Teagarden. First jazz concert at the Met. That was 1944 today.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Gone. Young girls have picked them, every one. Oh, when will they ever learn? Oh, when will they ever learn?
And finally, in transitions, Peter, Paul, and Mary's Where Have All the Flowers Gone introduces this last transitions article that's also used for our folk music news. It's an obituary. Peter Yarrow of the folk trio Peter, Paul, and Mary has died at 86. This is published January 7, 2025, NPR. Jeff London. Folk singer Peter Yarrow, best known as a member of the trio Peter, Paul, and Mary, has died at 86. His publicist confirmed Yarrow died Tuesday morning. surrounded by his family at his home in New York City after a four-year battle with bladder cancer. Yarrow was a political activist throughout his life and wrote the anti-Vietnam War protest song, Day Is Done, released by Peter, Paul, and Mary in 1969. But in 1970, his reputation was tarnished after a criminal conviction for which he served 3 months in prison. He was ultimately pardoned by President Jimmy Carter. The son of Ukrainian Jewish immigrants, Peter Yarrow grew up in New York City. He began performing folk music as an undergrad at Cornell and met his bandmates Mary Travers and Noel Paul Stokey at the Greenwich Village Folk Scene. As Peter, Paul, and Mary, the three saw enormous success in the early 60s, spurred on by a song Yarrow co-wrote, Puff the Magic Dragon. The group would notch 6 top 10 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 between 1962 and 1969 and earn 5 Grammy Awards.
Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time ago.
Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet introduces our classical music news. It's titled Berlioz Symphonie Fantastique, the pathetic tale of a composer desperately seeking a girlfriend. Why are love-struck composers quite so pathetic? How Berlioz's infatuation with actress Harriet Smithson led him to compose his monumental Symphonie Fantastique, only to be distracted by another woman. This is written by Neil McKim on the 10th of January, 2025, in BBC Music Magazine. Hector Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique is one of the greatest works of classical music ever written. But did you know that it was born out of the composer's obsession with an actor he had seen on stage in Paris? This is a story of a composer desperately wanting the attention of a woman, but when she missed the performer's premiere, he simply went home with another woman. How very predictable. Symphonie Fantastique is an infatuation set to music. In 1827, the French composer Hector Berlioz went to see a production of Shakespeare's Hamlet in Paris. It was a life-changing experience. He was bowled over by the bard's drama and became completely besotten with the Irish actress playing Ophelia, Harriet Smithson. Berlioz went on to write various works inspired by Shakespeare, including Romeo and Juliet and Beatrice of Benedict, and his infatuation with Smithson inspired his great Symphonie Fantastique. Berlioz's obsession with Smithson grew. He rented rooms near her and sent her letters, but to no avail. So he then embarked on the ultimate romantic gesture, writing an orchestral symphony for her. The first performance of the Symphonie Fantastique was arranged for 5 December 1830 to mark her return to Paris, but although the work was well received, she was not present. She didn't hear the work until 2 years later. Symphonie Fantastique, a tale of tormented love. A young artist of morbidly sensitive temperament and fiery imagination poisons himself with opium in a fit of lovesick despair. With those words, Berlioz introduced his Symphonie Fantastique at its Parisian premiere in 1830, and listeners were left with little doubt that the young artist of morbidly sensitive temperament was Berlioz himself. The Symphonie Fantastique tells the autobiographical story of the composer's love for Harriet Smithson, and his wrenching emotional torment. In the opening movement, the protagonist of the piece, a young musician, what do you know, first sees the woman of his dreams. Her image haunts his imagination, presented as a musical theme or idée fixe. This is transformed in the following movements as he experiences a festive party, a stroll in the countryside, opium, hallucinations, and a witch's Sabbath. For Berlioz, it seems there was no real distinction between the real Smithson and one of Shakespeare's heroines. He often referred to her as Ophelia, Juliet, or Desdemona. What happened to Berlioz and Harriet Smithson? After Smithson missed the 1830 premiere, Berlioz had a fling with a pianist, which led to a disastrous and brief engagement. When Berlioz returned to Paris in 1832, he stayed at an apartment which he amazingly discovered had just been vacated by Harriet Smithson. Spurred on by his renewed obsession, he arranged a second performance of the Symphonie Fantastique. This time the actress was in attendance, and she was won over by the work. Despite opposition from both families, the couple were married in October 1833. Unfortunately, the marriage didn't work out. Their son, Louis, was born the following year, but the couple separated. Smithson's career was on the rocks, and she was an alcoholic. Berlioz took up with a singer, and they married after Smithson's death in 1854. Symphonie Fantastique has an enduring popularity and gives us a musical memoir of Berlioz's infatuation with Smithson. Love cannot express the idea of music, while music may give an idea of love, wrote the composer. Mark Howard et al.'s Mountain Stream introduces our music research article. It's titled Releasing Stress Through the Power of Music. This is published in unr.edu/counseling. That stands for the way, by the way, to for the University of Nevada at Reno Counseling Center. Music can have a profound effect on both the emotions and the body. Faster music can make you feel more alert and concentrate better. Upbeat music can make you feel more optimistic and positive about life. A slower tempo can quiet your mind and relax your muscles, making you feel soothed while releasing the stress of the day. Music is effective for relaxation and stress management. Research confirms these personal experiences with music. Current findings indicate that music around 60 beats per minute can cause the brain to synchronize with the beat, causing alpha brain waves, frequencies from 8 to 14 hertz or cycles per second. The alpha brain wave is what is present when we are relaxed and conscious. To induce sleep, a delta brain wave of 5 hertz, a person needs to devote at least 45 minutes in a relaxed position, listening to calming music. Researchers at Stanford University have said that listening to music seems to be able to change brain functioning to the same extent as medication. They noted that music is something that almost anybody can access and makes it an easy stress reduction tool. So what type of music reduces stress the best? A bit surprising is that Native American, Celtic, Indian stringed instruments, drums, and flutes are very effective at relaxing the mind, even when played moderately loud. Sounds of rain and thunder and nature sounds may also be relaxing, particularly when mixed with other music, such as light jazz, classical, the largo movement, and easy listening music. Since with music we are rarely told the beats per minute, how do you choose the relaxed music that's the best for you? The answer partly rests with you. You must first like the music being played, and then it must relax you. You could start by simply exploring the music on this unr.edu/counseling webpage. Some may relax you, some may not. Forcing yourself to listen to relaxation music that irritates you can create tension, not reduce it. If that happens, try looking for alternatives on the Internet or consult with counseling service staff for other musical suggestions. It is important to remember that quieting your mind does not mean you will automatically feel sleepy. It means your brain and body are relaxed, and with your new calm self, you can then function at your best in many activities. Experiment now. Experience a sound bath and let the music carry you away. Go to YouTube to open links to relaxing musical selections such as Sleep Deeply by Dan Gibson, Nature Sounds and Instrumental Tranquil Sleep Music, and so on. Brenda Lee's I'm Sorry introduces our rock and pop music news. It's titled, Brenda Lee Recalls Special Bond with Favorite Beatle John Lennon when the band opened for her in the early 1960s. He was a genie in the bottle and let me have the cork, the legend says in the PBS documentary, Brenda Lee, Rocking Around. This is published in People magazine by Jeremy Heliger, published on December 21, 2024. These days, Brenda Lee is best known for the perennial 1958 holiday classic, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, which she recorded when she was 12 years old. But during the 1960s, she was the hottest female pop star on the planet, the Taylor Swift of her time. She was such a huge star that she scored back-to-back number one hits in 1960 with the song playing in the background, I'm Sorry, and I Want to Be Wanted, while she was still in her teens. Early in the decade, she even headlined a show where her opening act was the Beatles. Lee talks about her connection to her fellow rock and roll legends in the new PBS American Masters documentary, Brenda Lee, Rockin' Around.
I'm sorry, so sorry. Please accept my apology. But love was blind, and I was too blind to see.
When I started touring in England, I was popular there before I ever was here, Lee 80 says in the documentary. There was this group that opened this show for me known as the Silver Beatles, who became the Beatles. While hanging out with the Fab Four, she says she forged an especially close connection to one of them in particular. John was my favorite Beatle, Lee recalls. I loved them all, but John was, to say the least, irreverent, had a great sense of humor. He was magical. He was a genie in the bottle, and he let me have the cork. John Lennon said I was the first female rocker. To that revelation, Keith Urban chimes in. Yeah, she deserves that, he says in the film. Of course, John Lennon didn't give out compliments easy. There's not many people you can be around with, and they talk about the time that they hung out with the Beatles. Brenda Lee, Rocking Around, it was streaming on PBS.org through January the 14th. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which Beatles song was played at the Charles Manson murder trial on this very day back in 1971? Was that A, Here Comes the Sun, B, Lady Madonna, C, Helter Skelter, or D, Revolution? As noted in OnThisDay.com, it was on this day back in 1971 at the Charles Manson murder trial. The Beatles' Helter Skelter was played. At the scene of one of his gruesome murders, the words Helter Skelter were written on a mirror. The correct answer is therefore answer C, Helter Skelter. As noted by Alex Hopper in 922-23 article in AmericanSongwriter.com, Helter Skelter is undoubtedly the Beatles' most controversial song. However, the controversy is no fault of the group, and all to do with the infamous Charles Manson co-opting the song for his own use. The track, penned by Paul McCartney and John Lennon, has far less nefarious origins. According to McCartney, the song was one part inspired by The Who's rowdy musicality and one part childhood memories. The Who inspiration accounts for the grungy guitar and pounding drums. But what exactly is a Helter Skelter? A lot of people in the U.S. still don't know what a Helter Skelter is, McCartney added. They think it's a roller coaster. It's actually another fairground feature, conical with a slide around the outside. We went on them loads of times as kids. McCartney used the carnival ride as a symbol of life. One minute you're up, next minute you get knocked down, he added. You're feeling euphoric, then you're feeling miserable. Such is the nature of life. The verses are based on the Mock Turtle song from Alice in Wonderland. John and I both adored Lewis Carroll, McCartney explained. In the same book passage, McCartney commented on Manson using the song as the thesis for his impending race war. Things got really dark when Charles Manson, a year later, hijacked that song, McCartney said. He thought the Beatles were the four horsemen of the apocalypse. He was reading all this stuff into the lyrics. It was all too twisted. Despite the song being a stellar addition to the Beatles catalog, it will also always be shrouded in debate thanks to the actions of Manson and his quote-unquote family. And the answer to our second question, Lyndon Johnson's presidential inauguration was held 60 years ago today. Which of the following entertainers was not a featured singer? Was that A, Barbara Streisand, B, Bobby Darin, C, Willie Nelson, D, all of the above were featured singers at LBJ's inauguration, or E, none of the above were featured singers at LBJ's inauguration? Correct answer? Well, as noted in several articles, including OnThisDay.com, many stars and celebrities participated in LBJ's inaugural gala, including Alfred Hitchcock, Woody Allen, Anne Margaret, and singers Bobby Darin, Barbara Streisand, Carol Channing, Harry Belafonte, Julie Andrews, and Carol Burnett. Willie was not one of them, so answer C is the correct answer. Turns out that Nelson may not have sung for Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ, but he did receive an award from the LBJ Foundation. Willie was given the LBJ Liberty and Justice for All Award in 2023 at a gala dinner at the LBJ Presidential Library in Austin, Texas. So, let's close out today's program with Willie Nelson and his optimistic outlook reflected in his song, I'm Alive.
It's so damn easy to say that life's so hard. Everybody's got their share of battle scars. As for me, I'd like to thank my lucky stars that I'm alive and well.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time. Stars are dancing on the